What up, y'all? Welcome to Chip and Zay here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. I am Zay Collier. Appreciate everybody for rocking with us on this Tuesday, January 6th. Up, cracking, it's going down. Y'all know how we do. Like, subscribe, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X, the whole nine. You know, after the show, wherever you get your podcasts, hit us up there. Just type in Texas Sports Unfiltered. Y'all got it. Y'all should know by now. And if you don't know, now you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Texas Sports Unfiltered. Football season's over. Football season never ends. Basketball season's popping. Baseball, softball right around the corner. Come on. What else do you want? What else do you want? We're breaking it all down. Every day, my man Chip Brown, late, it's cool, we good, but yeah, it's already coming on, it's already going down, I see, Parker Deadstone, come on, y'all, which, guess we gotta start with that, I'm sure Chip will jump in once he gets on, but former Texas Longhorn wide receiver Parker Livingston, committed to Oklahoma. Arch rival, Red River. I came front. It hurts. It hurts. I wish Parker Livingston the best, but man, there are 134 other schools, ain't it? Let's bring my man Chip Brown on. Chip, what's up?
What's going on? We got a wild and woolly day going. In the immortal words of Judy Brown, happiness is a choice, and we're happy you're spending some time with us. This is a brand new computer.
Nice, finally.
And when I look at the screen, it looks like I'm looking off to my right, but
you mean it's backwards?
Maybe.
What do you mean looking off to your right? I'm confused.
I don't know. It seems like in the past, when I looked at our screen, I was like in the center. I was looking at the center. Now it looks like I'm looking off somewhere. Anyway, who cares? All right, folks, we got a wild and woolly day going. Longhorn fans are melting down. Jaden Baugh staying at Florida. Parker Livingston has signed with Oklahoma. I would just say the portal is still open. So don't throw stuff against your TV or your computer or lose your mind, or just if you're going to follow recruiting, you got to hang on for all the twists and turns. So just like I'm having to follow all these twists and turns. I'm still dealing with Twitter X. You know what the crazy thing is? So my Twitter got hacked by some crypto kings who are putting out fancy cars and saying how great their life is from cashing in on crypto. And you to get your account back, you're dealing with AI.
Oh, geez.
So you're getting emails from AI, and they're telling you, send us government, you know, send us your proof of your identification. Well, look at this. So my driver's license looks like my face is coming out of a bathtub.
Yo, put that down, man. Oh, you're going to get hacked again.
Get hacked again. So AI is like, we can't verify your identity. Okay. And if you send us fake stuff, you'll never get it. I'm like, what is going on? So I'll keep you posted how the latest...
Why don't you just drive up to one of these Tesla dealerships and say what's up to Elon?
Yeah.
He should help you.
Man.
They wild AI.
It's not fun.
Yeah, they wilding on Twitter, you know, people calling you out and stuff, all types of stuff.
Well, that's fine. Everyone's gonna be mad. I mean, but here's the thing. We're seeing this a lot. You know, Isaac Brown, it's a different world out there. And Texas, I think Texas is wondering who is, obliging by the house settlement cap rules for revenue sharing and who isn't. And, it's a wild world out there.
Well, why are they worried about everyone else?
Because I think the offers are changing and, you're seeing people go up. And look, that's fine. At the end of the day, I think Texas has a plan. I think I was surprised they were going after Cam Coleman. I've said this, there are other receivers you can get who I think are just as good as Cam Coleman, who are going to be cheaper than Cam Coleman. But everyone has seen Cam Coleman play, so they love them some Cam Coleman. I get it. Jaden Baugh, rock star. But if Texas gets Relique Brown from Arizona State, that kid caught 34 passes last year. He averaged 6.1 a carry. Like, I'm good with Relique Brown. I mean, there are multiple running backs who can get you yards that you need. And you have Christian Clark, and you've got,
Derek Cooper.
So, they see the big shiny and they love the big shiny. But there are dudes that played on teams that didn't win this year that you didn't watch, like our guy, Emmett Mosley last year. He played for Stanford. No one knew who he was. Everyone's like, well, what is this guy? He's good. He's going to be fine. So, people are going to be upset. They're doing their thing. But I just say, wait till the portal closes. Wait till it's done to see what Texas ends up with.
When is that, by the way?
16th.
January the 16th? Damn.
16th of January. So
it's 10 days, man.
Yeah. Well, look, they got their blocking, catching tight end. They got their insurance policy. I love this hair of the dog. Oh, wait. See, I can't even be on this computer because I can't even click on the comments. I'm not like.
Was it this one?
Yeah. Yeah. Let me flash my credit cards next.
Help you flash that ID.
I got to get.
Good. It's all good. We're learning here.
I'm afraid if I try to log in, I might disappear from this broadcast.
I mean, yeah, we'll hold you down until you get back if you mess something up. Go and get situated and comfortable. But, I'm still kind of on the whole with Steve Sarkisian. Why can't you do it like Kurt Cignetti? That's really what I'm on. He ruined it for everybody. I mean, this is what it is. That's how you should be doing it. They're getting the most bang for their buck. They're the only team that had a bye these last 2 years, college football playoff, 12 teams that has advanced to the following Final Four. Like what Indiana's doing, I don't get why Texas can't do. So going for someone like Cam Coleman, cool, but I feel like you can find Joe Schmo at wherever the hell school he at, who's maybe asking for 90,000 and a Kit Kat, and you develop him into something successful. Like why can't we be like more Kurt Cignetti, man? I don't understand. Like the numbers are going up. Why can't we find these diamonds in the roughs? Michael Masunis, okay, this is a pretty loaded tight end room. So him coming in at 6'5", 260, that sounds great and all, but is this guy going to push the needle any for what you already have in that tight end room? I don't know. But Texas trying to get these heavy hitters, their development has to be better. Like, they're just getting paid too much money. I'm talking about the coaches to not go that Kurt Cignetti route. Like, it shouldn't be this difficult. I'm with you. I like Brown from Arizona State. If you could get him on, cool. Like, hopefully he ain't breaking your bank either. But you need an explosive player in that backfield, something that Contravion Weisner, as good as he was, just didn't bring to the table. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need that dude that, man, once he gets off into the secondary, out of here. You ain't got to worry about nobody catching them. And Malik Brown, he is that. But how much is Brown asking for? And you can keep flirting. If you're a player out here, keep flirting around. Like, you owe yourself that. I know people are hating on Parker Livingston. I see the number going out there, allegedly 800,000. Hell no. Parker Livingston, it was cool. The story with Arch Manning was beautiful. Everybody tried to envision that Jordan Shipley, Colt McCoy thing going on. But 800,000, if he was asking that from Texas, slow your roll, Parker. Slow your roll, bro. I don't know what kind of belt buckle you're trying to get with that, but nah, hell.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for him.
Good for him.
I mean, that's the number, man.
That's great. And he loved OU coming out of high school. They didn't offer him. So, you know, good for him. I think that's a situation where he's going to, you know, get money, get playing time. He's higher up on their, you know, wide receiver 1, 2, 3 list than he is at Texas. He didn't even start the Citrus Bowl. So, you know, Texas coaches were saying, maybe, I don't know when they knew what he was asking, but he was asking for more money. So I don't really get the whole, some things are out of my control. You know, when he made his post saying farewell to Texas, and look, you got, if you're getting 800,000 from OU, that's great. And I hope it goes better than, you know, Brennan Thompson, who ended up leaving OU and going right on to Mississippi State. So, you know, it depends on what you want. Quinn Ewers wanted a legacy at Texas. So he turned down the big money to be a mercenary last year and went to the NFL. And different people want different things. So, you know, it's good for these kids. If this is, you know, if they're getting what they want, good for them. I like Parker Livingston. He's fun. He's funny. His brothers are awesome. They're TikTok stars. And I'm going to have to watch them, you know, from a different, I don't know if they're going to start doing a bunch of OU stuff, but yeah, I mean, look, this is a wild time. We're in an unprecedented era of free agency for college football. And, you know, I think like the whole Cam Coleman thing, I'm good if Texas doesn't get Cam Coleman. I think there are other options out there and some options that aren't even in the portal that, you know, could be. If you let the right agent know, that could be become an option. So, look, they need offensive linemen. Zay, you and I have been saying this, oh, you know, yesterday, today, we're like, you need offensive linemen. So maybe there's some good news coming for Texas in that department. They need it because, to me, that is priority number one. Linebacker, priority number two. And the Cal linebacker, whose name I can't pronounce, is getting in the portal with a no contact tag.
Damn.
Which is always interesting. Yeah, it's good.
introverted stuff is that? Don't call me. Don't text me. I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, see, that's what's interesting to me. Like, that's where you think about tampering and all that stuff, which that ain't nothing. I don't.
Everybody's tampering.
Everybody's tampering. But to have that, to not even want to flirt with nobody, like, you don't want to get wined and dined or nothing. You don't want to see any other campuses. Your mind's already sold, like your agent and everything, just in line to let everybody else know, hey, y'all leave me the hell alone. No, I'm not interested. But we got this. No. I ain't even trying to hear it. I know where I'm going. Must be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, some guys are different. Some guys like the recruiting drama and excitement. Other guys are like, you know what? Let me see what you know, this school's offering. You know what? That's good enough. I'll go in with a no contact tag. Now, I think Andrew Sprague, the offensive tackle from Michigan, went in with a no contact tag. He visited Texas. I'm told he was back at Michigan last night meeting with Kyle Whittingham, which if you're a, you know, you're going to probably listen to the new coach to see what he's got to say. And then, no, I think Missouri was trying to get in there and talk to him. But
yeah, he's a Missouri kid. I think he's from Kansas City.
Yeah, he's from Kansas City. So, you know, sometimes it's no contact, but then they keep trying to contact you. And finally, you maybe listen a little bit. But yeah, it's wild. I'm just going to say that just hold on till the end, because I think you have to stay focused on what Texas truly needs, and let's see if they fill those needs before we get to the luxury items. And look, you know, Jaden Baugh, that dude's a hammer. He's a good player. Of course, Florida is going to do whatever it can to hang on to their young talent. And his announcement came from their NIL group, Gator Victorious. So that tells you they were ready to sweeten the pot for Jaden. And, you know, and trust me, there were other schools that were anticipating, you know, Jaden Baugh getting in the portal so that they could go, you know, offer what they wanted to offer. And Florida, you know, did their thing. But he's not the only running back out there, just like Cam Coleman's not the only receiver out there. And one thing I've liked about the way that Texas has handled its transfer portal moves under Sarkisian is that they do find the guys who are kind of the bright lights on the so-so teams that are ready to win. And now, you know, A.D. Mitchell, they got. He was a winner who came in, was concerned about his quarterback situation with, you know, Stetson Bennett moving on. So he wanted to come play with Quinn Ewers. That was a splashy portal addition, but yeah, I mean,
yeah, and he was better than I thought he was going to be. Because remember, he was injury prone coming in. You know, his only big time highlights in Athens was in the championship games. You know, when they were winning, when it mattered.
Yeah, when it mattered most.
Yeah, when it mattered most. But like overall, over the course of the year, his numbers weren't really there. So that's one of those ones where Sark and them, they really hit on it. Same with Matthew Golden. We mentioned that yesterday. So, you know, Emmett Mosley, they hit on that. You just wish that he would have played all 13 games. So, yeah, like I really appreciate Texas fans being pissed off and petty about Parker Livingston going to Oklahoma. I'm not like that. Like, I understand why you're pissed off and petty. I there's nothing in my body that has that in me to be mad at what Parker Livingston's doing. But I appreciate the other Texas fans doing that. Y'all do you. I ain't knocking that at all. That's what I love about college sports, because there still has to be some loyalty, for sure. There's still, because you, Quinn Ewers, that's why we love Quinn, with them big-ass belt buckles and them tight jeans he got on in Miami. Quinn ain't changing. Quinn's saying, I'm bringing the Texan to South Beach. South Beach ain't changing me at all. So we appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? That's relatable. But Parker Livingston, even though he had to do what's best for him, now Texas fans, they calling out the drops. You know what I'm saying? They talking about him being Benedict Arnold stuff. Like, they going in on my man Parker. And you saw in that statement he made, last 24 months, he put blood, sweat, and tears into the program. Out of his control. I want $800,000. Sark and them said, we ain't paying $800,000 for wide receiver four. Wide receiver four? Again, this is me conjuring souls. I'm conjuring. Sue me. But you know, Parker was looking at him like, wide receiver four? And y'all ain't giving me this $800,000 I could get somewhere else? Oh, man, that's too much. That's too much. I can't blame Parker for that. Parker thinks that's what he is. And even $600,000, that's high. That's high, T. Cox, $600,000, because I don't know what the real number is. But I've seen $800,000 be thrown out there. Now we're seeing $600,000, somebody else in the comments said $200,000. But that's a lot for wide receiver four, especially when you got these young bucks. Which freshman is going to make that sophomore jump? We're already putting Kalik Lockett in that spot just because of the little bit he showed in that citrus, you know, that cheese at citrus bowl. But what he showed popped. It was a loud ass two catches, real loud. So is he going to make that jump to where, hey, you got to fight with this guy if you want to stick around? Another reason why we ain't paying you. Same thing with DeAndre Moore. With DeAndre Moore hearing those same conversations. And then you got Ryan Wingo, who got wide receiver one targets, but didn't perform at a wide receiver one level for all 13 games. They looking at that too. Chris Jackson just got pizzed again. All right. So we're all in. We're all locked in the wide receiver room to just get some consistency there with the coaching staff. Sark can focus on the offense more now. He got Will Muschamp. So, hey, maybe if they bring in some diamond in the rough guy, that's not Cam Coleman. Hopefully we see a better product at that position in 2026 than we did at 2025. But I am banking on this coaching staff with what they get paid to figure it out. And they got 10 days to do so. So let's get to it. Find that diamond in the rough like Kurt Cignetti keeps finding.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, this is going to be this is where your ability to evaluate is everything. It's everything. And, you know, I like the rhetoric that Sark has said in the past about, you know, we want to find guys who fit and not bring in guys who are going to disrupt everything. So that's key. That's why Sark makes the big bucks. He's got to determine, if we bring in this guy, is this going to be a total disruption to what we've already got? Or is this someone who comes in and fits in and helps elevate people immediately? Because all that stuff is... That's as important as the talent.
Yeah. Well, could you argue about the disruption with Wisner, DeAndre Moore, and Livingston all leaving, that something was disrupted? Because those are your core guys That was a lot of leadership that went off to the transfer portal.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm confused.
Well, and I'm sure that they may have told those guys the truth. They may have said, we're going to go after some big names. And then, you know, that causes other guys. And I do think DeAndre Moore wanted a chance to be a number one somewhere. So he was going to have to go somewhere else. Parker wanted more money. He had 6 touchdowns. And look, his agent is Ron Slavin, who's, you know, he was Quinn's agent. He's going to try and get his client money commensurate with catching 6 touchdown passes. You catch 6 touchdown passes and you're second on the team in touchdown receptions. You're going to say, hey, you know, how about a little something for the effort? So, I mean, that's how it goes. So, and good agents do a good job. If Ron Slavin got $800,000 for Parker from OU, you go. That's life-changing money.
Yeah.
That's life-changing money. Hell, you can take $100,000 of that, put it in an IRA, and never contribute to it again, and you're retired at 50, you know? So hopefully that's what some of these kids are doing, too. You get that. What? You get
investing. What? We go on the Magic
City. Don't do this.
What do you mean?
We go trying to help people.
City. I need a new chain, man.
Don't be, you know, fronting.
How can the fine honey with the big old booty notice me if I don't got that chain on when it's dark in the club and I got the ice on the grill? What are you talking about? Investing? No. That big booty. Oh, Instagram model. I never would have got her if I didn't have this chain on.
Yeah. Let me tell you, as a guy who's over 50, that big booty in that, you know, in that club, in the champagne room. Well, you'll have that memory, even if you're broke. You go get some baby oil from P. Diddy.
Whoa. And we're not talking about that.
And work it out.
What we're doing is consensual and cool, all in fun. Everybody agreed to it. Not like Puff, dirty bastard. But yeah, man, I'm with you. All jokes aside, I don't know how these guys, like all these old heads, that once upon a time they were collegiate athletes talking about loyalty and all this stuff. Like, no, if the rules are what they are now, then those fools would have done the same thing. Same thing. So one thing I think about too, which this is me speculating, don't know if this is true or not, but I think about these things. You know, my mind, it goes crazy places. I think about these things. Arch Manning gets so much attention, man. So much attention, as he should. But also, does it rub players the wrong way? Some players could deal with it. But some, I know guys that get mad jealous out here of certain guys just because it is what it is. Jealousy hits folks in different ways. But I hope that's not an issue. Because I'm just trying to fathom, and I know the money involved. I know DeAndre Moore wants to be wide receiver one. Parker Livingston, you get $800,000. My man Contravion Wisner asking for a mil. I don't know what Florida State gave him. But clearly, they made him an offer that he couldn't refuse. Godfather style. But I just think of guys like that, your core guys, all that leadership. And again, you said, Zay, come on. I'm just saying. I'm trying to put everything out here to make it make sense, official coach, stop. I'm just trying to make things make sense of why. Why? Because next year seems like the year. Like next year, especially with how this year ended, I would have looked at it as, man, everybody who was a part of the 2025 season should have an empty feeling in their gut of what could have been. And knowing that, especially with the Final Four college football playoff, if you would have had an opportunity to make it, what kind of noise this 2025 Texas team could have done? They don't get that opportunity. So you would think 2026, going in the winter workouts, Torrey Becton, it's on and popping. We're locked in. We're as motivated as we've ever been. This wide receiver group coming back tight. Travion Wisner, CJ Baxter getting over the injuries, coming back ready to go. Everybody with the same mindset. And it seems like the opposite of that. Like no one is really coming back to get, you know, to think about, okay, what can we do in 2026? So I'm just, again, I know some of y'all can't stand when the Conjuring happens and I'm speculating, but I when I do this, there's a reason to it, because we don't know what the final decision is sometimes on why these kids make the moves that they make. So I hope that's not an issue. But again, who knows? Like, I hope jealousy has nothing to do with it. And it wouldn't be because it's anything Arch Manning's doing. We know how Arch Manning is as a teammate. He doesn't want any of the limelight. He shies away from it. He bigs his teammates up. When he gets interviewed and stuff after the OU game, I don't know who it was, Laura Rutledge, somebody. They were like, oh, Arch Manning, how you feel about being OU, blah, 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 this, that, and the third. And Arch was like, yo, Travion Wisner, he won us this game. Travion Wisner was that dude. Like, Arch ain't the one. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want any of the attention. He gives it to his teammates. He's the ultimate teammate. So it wouldn't be anything he's doing, but there's still some guys that want that shine. They see that shine coming from somewhere else. I saw it with Russell Westbrook and KD. Wow. If I'm Russell Westbrook, wouldn't the logical thing be, man, this guy's better than me. I want to win. So if I give this guy the ball more, maybe we'll win. That didn't happen. What happened? Russell said, I wanted to be the guy. And what happened with that? Russ is ringless. So don't say it can't happen, y'all. Don't say that what I'm speaking of is just bullshit. Oh, it's not. It's happened before. I'm not saying it's going on in Texas, but it could happen. So that's just what I'm throwing out there. Hope that's not the case. But it's just very odd to see guys that have been a part of the program that were leaders for you just go off and not take less money and not make it work and see if there's grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a lot more to this portal free agency. And I love Quintrevion Wisner as a guy, a glue guy, a dog who shows up when you need him most. But he's not, you know, he doesn't have the, I mean, look, there are special talents out there. We know, we saw Bijan at Texas. You know, you watch James Cook play for the Bills. You see those guys who can make something out of nothing and, you know, and Texas needs some of that. I mean, Quintrevion Wisner as part of your 1-2 punch is nice. I don't know why Sark didn't run him more, like against Georgia. He was worried Georgia was about to blow out Texas, so he felt like he needed to throw it. I'm like, well, one way to slow down a blowout is to run it. So, you know, some of it is some of the production. Some of the production is on how the coaches are calling it. You know, Quintrevion Wisner didn't get much of a chance in that Georgia game, and he was averaging 6 a carry and looked great on that first drive. I was like, I looked it over at Eric Henry. I was like, okay, Texas running the ball on Georgia. And then we saw, you know, And then it turn into the throw game, and the throw game, it was the drop game. And sometimes you got to just look at how your team is responding. It's like when Miami played Louisville, they didn't run Mark Fletcher. Go look at the numbers. And it made no sense. And they kept throwing it with Carson Beck, and he threw four interceptions. Like, sometimes you got to say, you know what? Our quarterback doesn't have it. So we're going to do some of this. We're going to do some of that. And, you know, Miami ran the ball with Mark Fletcher against Ohio State, and they won it.
Yeah, against A&M too.
Yeah, against A&M too.
That's why they're still playing.
And that game's going to be crazy. That game's going to be crazy. Miami and Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I'm back and forth on that one, because I love what Trinidad Chambliss looked like in that game against Georgia. Loved it. I was saying to my wife, I'm like, this dude is ready for the league right now. I mean, he was doing some Pat Mahomes type stuff. He's getting chased out of the pocket. He throws a ball left-handed down. He's, you know, a little pop down to his back as he's about to get sacked. I mean, or maybe it wasn't left-handed. Maybe it was like a little, you know, pitch down the field. But, yeah, you need dudes, man. And dudes come in all shapes and sizes. We've seen, I mean, Antonio Brown was a sixth round pick out of Central Michigan. That dude was killing it for the Steelers before he lost his mind. You know what I mean? Like, there are, you know what I mean? There's, you got to do your homework. You got to look, you got to do the evaluating, and you got to know who you're dealing with. And there's still some stuff out there for Texas if they go figure it out. But
you got to elaborate more about just the market moving and Texas trusting that everybody is being legit with revenue share and stuff like that, because that's interesting. Like, well, I don't know why they're worried about other teams, but the way you're making the sounds like they have to with what's going on.
Well, Sark hinted at it at the Citrus Bowl. Let me pull up his quote. You know, he said, we have a cap. We have a cap. It's the house settlement. And
man, Cody Campbell don't give a damn about that cap.
Well, that's right. So if everyone else isn't, then if everyone else is gambling on the fact that it's all, you know, not going to be policed, then you've got a decision to make, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, let me say this. At the same time, I don't think you should spend $4 million on Cam Coleman. You know, what Michigan did to get Bryce Underwood, that's crazy. That's crazy. So you don't want to be that team. I mean, you want guys who want to be with you.
See, and that's where I'm confused, because why? What's wrong? You got that 20 million point, whatever the hell you're getting, that everyone gets. If Cody Campbell wants to say, hey, I'm going to throw a little mill on the top of that, what's wrong with him doing that? Like, what's illegal about that? And why couldn't you do it from just different sponsors and do it through that, like a different party? Like, that's what I'm confused at, which I think Texas, they should definitely be taking advantage of that if other people are doing that, which I feel like they have.
Right. And that's right. That's the gray area. You know, that's the whole fair market deal that has to get approved by the, you know, Deloitte NIL Go clearinghouse. If it's a legit NIL deal, like Arches, you know, Red Bull and Warby Parker and stuff, it does not count against the revenue share for Texas. That's money. That's legit NIL that Arch Manning has gone and gotten. And that's why he's always agreed to less. But then if you promise a guy a bunch of money and then you got to go find him a legit NIL deal, you better make sure it's legit according to how they're trying to police this thing.
Yeah.
And it only is going to work if everyone abides, right? And you heard Greg Sankey say, y'all want guardrails. Well, we have guardrails. So follow the guardrails. Well, no one's following the guardrails.
No.
So we're back, you know, we're out in the Wild West. We're running around with our horses and we're shooting each other and, you know, meet you at high noon and we'll turn on three, but I'll turn on two and shoot you in the back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just feel like that's such an easy way to get around it. Like you put on a autograph event for so-and-so player to make up for that, charge $100 a head, have some big time booster pay for everyone to get a free autograph. Oh, it's taken care of. I thought it was $100 a head. No, we got somebody taking care of it. So you don't got to worry about that. And then throw in a little tip. we have only about a certain amount of people for $100 a head, but we got to add more. Let's just say it's a tip. You know what I'm saying? Let's just add a little extra because we're being nice. We're being friendly. Bam. Easy. Kid gets his money. We're all happy. Made it look legit. We're all happy. Like, I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird game.
Here's let's get to some of the latest because people are saying we're just up here riffing. Texas is involved with NC State offensive tackle Jacarius Peak. Jacarius Peak. And so that's another name to keep an eye on in addition to Andrew Sprague and Jake Guarnera.
What are those guys, by the way? They tackles, guards, center.
So Sprague is a tackle. Guarnera can play guard or center. And Jacarius, I'm looking him up right now. Jacarius Peak is a tackle. And he's got 1 year of eligibility remaining, 6'4", 298. So, and then you've also got, Nate Kibble. Remember him?
Yep.
He has committed to Baylor.
Good for him.
So, but today I think, and I know people are, you know, looking at the Michael Masunis, the Michigan State tight end and saying, you know, meh. Look, that dude caught 19 balls and, you know, Jack Endries caught what, 28? You know, it wasn't a smooth operation at Texas in terms of passing the football. Endries had 33 catches for 346 and three touchdowns. Masunis, 6'5", 259, 19 catches, 232 yards, three touchdowns. This kid is, if you're going to play in 11 personnel, this kid solves, he can block. and he can catch. So is he the receiver that Jack Andrews was? We'll find out, because Michigan State was not exactly a juggernaut this past season. So this is an example of finding that guy who does his job. That's what you need, guys who are going to do their job in what's asked of them in the offense. Like, I think this is a solid pickup. You've already got good receiving tight ends and Nick Townsend. And, you know, when Jordan Washington's locked in, Jordan Washington and Amari Winston. So, you know, it's a good pickup. And then, you know, listen, if they get these kids, if they get these offensive linemen from Michigan, oh, hell, you've just helped yourself. You know, these guys are solid dudes. It'd probably be nice if they came together. Because you'd have some cohesion and chemistry and leadership along with Trevor Goosby. And don't forget that, you know, they wanted to keep Jelani McDonald and Trevor Goosby, and it looks like they've done that. So some of your most key guys indicating that they're, you know, gonna be part of this next year. So
yeah,
that offensive line is the key.
For sure, definitely the key. And I know the tight ends that are currently in the room, more, you know, wide receiver tight ends, but I don't know. I was just expecting a jump from Shannon and Washington that we didn't get. And injuries, he was all right.
Well, they love Nick Townsend.
Yeah, they love that dude.
They love Nick Townsend. So
I don't know about giving him the ball on carries as a fullback. We need that was horrible.
Hey, it worked once.
It did not work against Michigan.
It worked against A&M.
That was an end around. That was a hell of a play.
Yeah. What'd you say?
That just give it to the fullback. Like, fullback.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Counter? I don't know what the hell that was. Fullback dive? It was rough. That was rough. But I don't know. I just want those tight ends to stay locked in because they do have upside. So I hope they don't see this and say, I can't do it. Which, when I say the tight ends, I'm really meaning Townsend, Amari Winston. No offense to Jordan Washington and Spencer Shannon, but I feel like those two, Winston, Townsend, they're ahead of Shannon and Washington. And now you bring in Masunis. We'll see.
Yeah. And you need, you know, Jack said tight end blocking was more important last season. It is. It is important. And if you look at Masunis, he's a really good pass blocker, you know? So if he needs to stay in, he can give that to you. If they need to max protect, or they need him to line up over a dominant pass rusher, he can hold his own. You're not just going to get run over. So, you know, that's important stuff. And that's what you need from that position. Let's see what else we can update here.
Y'all thinking Jonah Williams going to drop football for baseball. Okay.
Well, so that, you know, I don't, we'll know more soon. I've heard that, that Schloss and Sarkisian haven't really had the conversation yet about how spring is going to be handled. But I know Schloss wants Jonah playing center field. And I think Jonah wants to be playing center field. So it's going to be a tough deal because you got a new defense coming in, new defensive coordinator. You got, you know, Jonah, who's an unbelievable athlete. We saw that showed up in the Citrus Bowl. And yet the guy is an absolutely incredible. He's got so much upside as a center fielder. And my God, what did he hit last year? I mean, the guy can play some baseball now.
No, he was good. I don't know. He seems so set on playing both sports. And you know how I feel about it.
Yeah, I don't think he's at the point yet of having to decide, but we'll see. I mean, Will Muschamp's a pretty, you know, he wants guys who football's important to him, but when you're that talented, there are probably exceptions. I mean, Jonah Williams batted .327 as a freshman.
It's pretty good.
You'll take that. Yeah. I mean, the top hitter for Texas last year was Ethan Mendoza at .333. Jonah, as a non-starter, was your second best hitter. So, and he won, you know, he had game-winning RBI. Like he showed you he's got some stuff. He's got some tools. Especially when that hamstring is nice and healthy.
And we need it to be healthy. That's my biggest thing with him, just injuries, man. If he could get over those injuries, then I'm good with him playing two sports. But if those two sports are going to cause those injuries, then, yeah, I wouldn't mind him making the decision. Either way, he's going to be a star at whatever decision he makes if it comes down to that. And he's going to be a star, period. Both sports. It's just to be a star, you got to be on the field. And that's my biggest concern with him.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a very, very interesting
situation. Well, what's odd is why haven't Sark and Schloss had this discussion? Like, I'd be talking about them once a week. Like, I'd have a specific time for about 15 minutes once a week on Jonah Williams and where both coaches can see eye to eye on where he's at, how to use him, where's his body at, what they see on both sides. Like, I feel like he's worth that. And I'm sure they have some type of agreement going on. I don't know what that means, but to hear from you, they haven't talked about it
in
spring.
Like,
what?
You've got the scholarship, you know. Are they going to move him off of a football scholarship? Now that baseball has full scholarships, is he going to become a predominantly baseball guy? Is he going to be a baseball scholarship who moonlights in football? Or is he going to be a football scholarship who moonlights in baseball? Baseball can now carry him if need be. But that's a big decision. That's a big decision because that's going to, you know, and that's a lot of what Jonah has to decide. So, you know,
why for Jonah is it such a big deal of which program or which sport at the scholarship?
It's kind of, you know, you're allowing one sport. Who's like, what are you going to do about spring? This is exactly what we're talking about. Baseball season's going on and spring football is going on. Spring football is the beginning of football season. I mean, winter conditioning is really the beginning of football season. But, and if Jonah is, you know, he and Will Muschamp are getting to know each other and, you know, they could be fine with it. Will Muschamp could be like, hey, I just need you to come to the meetings. You know, just need you to come to the meetings. I trust you. I like how you work. I like your mindset. We're good. Other coaches are like, I need you on the field.
Yeah.
If you're not on the field, you know, but this kid's a special kid. He's a different dude. And so it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. But I know they have big, big plans for him in baseball.
Yeah.
He and that kid, Aiden Robbins. I've been told Aiden Robbins is the real deal. And I know Schloss would love to have Aiden Robbins in either left or right or maybe center. I don't know. I mean, Jonah can cover a lot of ground. in center is big, it the dish. So, but if you have those two in the outfield, you're looking pretty good because Robbins can hit. He was the steal of their of the baseball transfer haul because they did have some guys who signed with Texas out of the portal who ended up getting drafted and signing with major league teams. But Aiden Robbins is a guy who wanted to come to Texas, show he can do it at the SEC level and, you know, get after it. And I do think Texas baseball's pitching is going to be outstanding this season because you got Volantis, you got, you know, they really like what Jason Flores is doing, how he's progressed in terms of building his body. He's a flamethrower. And then, you know, you still have Luke Harrison and you've got these guys they brought in from the portal, like Cal Higgins. And so I think it's going to be interesting. I'll just give you those little nuggets on Texas baseball. Cause
I'm ready for baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as we ain't hitting folks, I'm good. Way too many hit batters last year. Way too many.
Yeah.
Cost them in the end.
Right. That's like shooting free throws, man. Make your free throws. Don't hit. Don't give away free bases.
Yeah.
You can throw a ball.
Only two situations. 0-2, man. Just we got it out on the way. And all of a sudden, ding. No outs. 0-2, no outs. Put that guy on first. Dude on first swipes a bag or something. Yeah.
Well,
I'm not looking forward to that.
Give me your take on, you know, where things are right now with the transfer portal.
I mean, I think Texas is being super patient. That's how I'm looking at it. I mean, there's no need to panic, but also these positions that they got to get better at, you're wondering, all right, you got 10 days. Do these guys have it all figured out? You know, again, are they just being patient with it? Because if they are, then cool. But that's why I didn't like the comment on worrying about everybody's revenue share and what's going on with that. Like, that sounds a little panic to me. So I hope that's not the case. I hope, you know, once things start to trickle down even more, that they can finalize their selection and get these guys in. But yeah, I could get why Texas fans are a little antsy at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I think what we're talking about is, you know, for these top guys, if the money's, you know, going through the roof, if it's going more than $2 million, you know, for a receiver who's going to play for 1 year, or, you know, Jaden Baugh, he's draft eligible after this next season. If the money goes up over $2 million for 1 year, is that how you want to spend the money? So, you know, that's where I think on the other fronts, they're looking at, you know, making good business decisions, getting the right guys in. Like I said, I know people are crazy about Cam Coleman. I like Nick Marsh out of Michigan State, who's going to Indiana.
What?
Didn't he commit?
Oh, I didn't see that.
I thought he committed.
I mean, he might have, but I didn't see it. Yep, going to Indiana. This dude, Kurt Cignetti, man. Like, these guys are getting ready for games. These guys are getting ready to play on Friday. Oregon, huge game, biggest game in Indiana history. And Sark, you ain't got nothing to do. Sark ain't got nothing to get ready for. Nothing. Kurt Cignetti.
Nothing. You make it sound like Sark's just sitting around watching reruns of Two and a Half Men.
He ain't prepping. to get to a national championship. I know that for a fact. Yeah. I know Kurt Cignetti for a fact is, and he's still out here getting guys, man. That's why I'm saying Indiana's making everybody look bad. Kurt Cignetti's making everybody, all these blue bloods, look bad.
That's what,
man.
That's what 23-1 will do for you.
I respect it.
You know?
I respect it. Like, wow. It's impressive. Because that's one of the big – Kurt Cignetti, he ruined all my Cam Coleman hopes. Because – you can do it. Better coaching, guys. Like, yeah, it's hard to coach. It's hard to develop. But guys are out here doing it and putting it all together and making it work. And I get, you know, some of y'all are telling me yesterday, well, they all 23 years old. Okay. Go get an old-ass man and put him on your roster that is wise, that ain't worried about going out on 6th Street. And all just the negative things that come with the ATX.
Remember what Scott Drew said after winning that national championship at Baylor? He said, the key is staying old.